Good morning, Asbury.
Good morning.
Oh, come on. We might be small, but we are mighty. Good morning.
Good morning.
We are here to worship a God who is worthy of our praise and so much more. So let's stand together and sing out as a church.
Good morning, good morning. Let me look around and see who came in after I turn my back on you. If you're visiting with us today, you're our honored guest here. We've got just a few announcements, and Carrie, you're going to have to cue me on these because I can only manage like this many things at once, even though, yeah, the later on sermon is going to be on the mathematics of God right now. My numbers are jumbled. So what do we got next?
We've got our announcements.
Okay.
Hog on the Hill.
Yes, okay, thank you. Hog on the Hill, October the 15th. Mark your calendar. There's going to be great time this year. Some additional things are going on. And for some of those younger individuals and those young at heart, there's going to be a hayride. I promised I'm going to bring my Kubota tractor up here. And since Tony moved to the city, he is missing his tractor. So I'm going to let him drive my tractor and pull the big long trailer with hay bales on it. So we will have a hayride for all of those that want to go. And then there's going to be judging. We've got some celebrity judges. Not going to tell you who those are yet, but we've got three or four that are going to be coming. It's going to be fantastic, and there's going to be some great auction items. Next up, teenagers. I went around. If some of you were in Sunday school this morning, then you heard me say this. Bill Temple is going to be addressing the teenagers on Tuesday, September the 5th. You know, some of you know, that I spent 27 years in the military in military intelligence. Bill is a retired special agent in charge of the Little Rock FBI office. I bow down to Bill. He is the man when it comes to intelligence matters. And he's going to be speaking at teenagers noon on the 5th. Come listen to him. Bill is just a fascinating, fascinating person to listen to. The Faith Family Dinners. It is now, we're going to have a faith family gathering beginning on September the 6th. It will incorporate dinners, studies, choir practice, Bible studies, a lot of stuff beginning on September the 6th. Meal starts at 5:45, and we're going to serve until 6:30. Corky's is going to be catering that. Guarantee you, they serve a lot more than just barbecue. And it is fantastic. And first up is going to be the chicken fried chicken, which is kind of like redundant to me, but okay. Green beans, roll, dessert, drink. It's going to be fantastic. After the meal, choir practice and all the rest of that, Pastor Mary and I are going to be doing Bible studies. Pastor Mary is going to be doing on Mary, the mother of Jesus, an overwhelmed woman. I'm going to be doing one on Moses, the reluctant prophet or the reluctant messenger. I love bringing out the humanity of our Old Testament patriarchs and matriarchs and just show that they have a human side to them just like we do. So those are going to be running for 5 weeks. After 5 weeks, we're going to have one-night studies continuing for the next 5 weeks. Tony Hilliard is going to be talking about the practical law issues like living wills, trusts, things of that nature. Baker Curris is going to be talking on lay leadership and just how vital lay leadership is to the strength of any church. It is the backbone of any church. Georgia Seward, I call her the Colonel. She's going to be teaching on health and healthy living. Carol Godwin and I are going to team teach mission and mission outreach. And I can't remember the fifth one to save my neck right now. But you get the idea. So for 10 weeks, we're going to have those studies. The youth is going to be here. The children, Miss Laura and Miss Amy, they're going to have the activities here. So it's just going to be a faith family gathering. You know, we are a faith family sharing Christ to meet the needs of all people. That is our mission statement. And that's exactly what we're going to do. It's going to be a time that you can refuel in the middle of the week. So come join all the rest of this, and it's going to be just a fabulous, fabulous time. If you got something going on another night of the week, and you can only come eat, and that's it, do. Come, eat, join us, and just fellowship. What else do we have?
ACDC.
Oh, yeah. Almost forgot. How could I forget this? 30, that is a number. ACCDC is 30 years old. We've got just a short slideshow presentation. Go ahead and run that presentation, if you would, please. You see what I get a chance to do all day long is look at those angels. And yes, they raise chickens. Yeah. It's just a wonderful, wonderful time every single day. And they learn about God as well. When I'm having one of those bad days, I come up here and I plant myself in the middle of this room and I make new friends all the time. I get down on their level, and I don't know how we can communicate as well as we do, maybe because I haven't quite gone past that age group yet. It's fun. It is fun. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm looking, and I see, Yeah, maybe just a few of you have your name badge on, so I'm going to do a top 10 of where to find your name badge. Are you ready for this? Top 10 places to find your name badge. Number 10 is on the clothes you wore last week. Number 9. There, thank you. On your chest of drawers, right next to the jewelry box, right? Number 9. Number 8, in your Sunday school classroom. Well, I'll leave it there so that way I can just put it on when I get there next week, right? Well, what happens if you don't come? Number 7, gentlemen, in your wife's purse. Or, gentlemen, maybe in your man purse. I don't know. I'm not going to judge. Number 6, in your checkbook or in your wallet. That's why it's so fat and won't fit in your pants. Number 5, in your baby's diaper bag. We'll take it off and put it right there, and you're not going to find it until you run out of diapers. Number 4, in your Bible to mark your favorite, well, what you studied last week anyway. Number 3, in your car console or in your glove box. That's kind of where mine stays in the dash. That way I just put it on, and at the end of the day, I take it and I put it right there. So that's where I keep mine. Number 2 is on the dashboard of your car. I'm number 2. So, number 1, thank you very much. And the number 1 place to remember to put your Asbury name tag is in your car cup holder. We all drive. It's right there. It blocks you from putting your coffee in there. So just take it out, put it on, then you can put your coffee in, right? And the number 1 reason, by the way, to wear your name tag is to help your associate pastor remember your name. I am terrible at names. And during the sermon today, you're going to find out where my strength is, but I'm going to tell you right now, my weakness is names. I'm terrible, absolutely terrible at it. So there's so much going on in the life of the church. Look at the back of the bulletin, see everything that we do have going on, and plug yourself in. Plug in to an activity in this church, and you will be blessed by it. Amen?
And let's be sure to celebrate our miracle moment. We wanted to do something a little bit different in the service. There is just a wee bit of bad news, you know, when you look at a newspaper or watch the news, heaven forbid, it's, you know, the end of days, sometimes quite literally. And we thought, you know, there's still some good stuff happening in the world, and God needs the glory for that. We need to shine a light on those miracle moments. And so we're going to be sharing that a little bit with you each Sunday.
And thank you. That's why Kara keeps me on track. And for those of you that are golfing, those golfers, Kathy Hilton of Tennessee hit a hole-in-one her first round of golf back on the golf course since she underwent 35 radiation treatments, 16 rounds of chemotherapy, and 5 surgeries in the past year to treat her breast cancer. That was reported in the Tennessean over in, well, in Tennessee. But it's just, you know, that's just fantastic. That is a God moment. That is a miracle moment. It doesn't take long for us to realize we're blessed. Did you get up this morning? You're blessed. Well, how many times has God blessed you? How old are you? Times 365. God's blessed you at least that many times. Just think about it. We are blessed. We're a blessed people. Kara. Yes.
Greet somebody next to you.
Yes.
Your neighbor. Share the love of Christ. Let's stand and worship together again this morning. Sing out, church.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy. And nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people. Children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough. grace is enough for me.
Great is your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. Amen. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing along. Sing out.
So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough, your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
So remember your people. Remember your children. Remember your promise, oh God.
Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me.
Do you believe in church?
Your grace is enough. Heaven reaching down to us. Your grace is enough for me.
God, I see.
Your grace is enough. I'm covered in your love. Your grace is enough for me.
For me. It's enough for me. Never earned. It's given so freely. And that's why we sing this morning.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder? Who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder? The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. You would bear my cross. You laid down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Chaos back into order. Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice. He shines like sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Sing it out, church.
Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. Lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Our God is so good and so faithful. You guys can have a seat. Let's have those kiddos come on up here.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all this morning? Good. I am so glad. So, you know, I haven't been in celebration in a couple of weeks. So how's school going? Great. And so y'all are enjoying it? Good. I'll ask y'all in about 6 weeks and see what y'all say. Well, this morning I have a question for you. Well, today we're going to be talking about change. What changes?
Us.
What else? What about your clothes?
Yes.
Yes. That was a big yes.
Clothes.
Clothes. What else?
The earth.
Very good. Maybe our phones. You know, I finally got to from a BlackBerry to a real phone. Now I'm going to go from the real phone to an iPhone, eventually. I'm getting there, Amy Bennett Shores. I'm getting there. You can buy one of those already. What about cars? New and improved cars. Yeah, so there's a... Yes, we're going to get to the point where we don't have to drive. That's going to be amazing. I had somebody in my car the other day, and they were really impressed because my car will read my text messages for me. Ooh. Does yours cars do that? Oh. Yeah. And I was really excited because I went from an old Toyota to a brand new Buick, and I even have the warmers for my seats.
Woo! Yes.
Right here. Yeah, Amy loves it when it's cold outside because we get to take my car to wherever we go. So there's a lot of things that around us change. Every day, something's always changing. But you know what? What never changes for us? Good job, Rachel Golden. Jesus. That's right. Jesus never changes. And what never changes is his love for us. We have things that change all around us every day. And it's scary, isn't it? Some of y'all changed to a new school. Some of y'all have new friends. Some of y'all tried a new adventure and went to Bible boot camp this weekend for the very first time. But you know what? And it's a little scary. But God's love for us never changes. So I want you to remember that. So as you go into school every day and you might be a little nervous about something, or there's something new that's coming up, or there's a change in your life, just remember that God never changes his love for you, and he's always going to be with you through those events. So let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today. We thank you for the wonderful weather outside. We thank you that your love for us never changes as the world around us changes on us. We ask this all in your Son's holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.
You know, I'm sitting here fumbling around this morning, and this little piece of paper keeps falling out of the bulletin. And if it's doing that for you, I got an idea. Just go ahead and fill that out and just drop it in the offering and just get signed up for that first faith family gathering that we're going to have. It's going to be a glorious time. On the back of our bulletin each and every week, there's so much in such small print that's going on. But I think one of the most important parts of the back of this bulletin is right there at the top. Those people that have called in and asked for us, their church family, to pray for them. It's an honor. I tell you, it's an honor and it's a responsibility. God tells us to lift each other up in prayer. We need to do that. I didn't put her name back here. I will tell you, a couple of weeks ago, I got a little choked up talking about my mama. She is doing well, and I want to thank you so much for your prayers for her. She went to the doctor this past Monday, Tuesday. The doctor, the surgeon, released her, took her staples out, and said, "Well, when are you going home?" It wasn't 30 minutes till I got a phone call. I said, "Doug, I'm ready to go home." "No, Mom, you got physical therapy." So that is a praise for my family, and it's because of your prayers. Thank you very much. But you see the prayer needs that we have here for Mary Wolf, Miss Laura, Miss Beth, Mildred, Patty, Caroline, Emily, Betty, Charlie Ward Sr. And we've got others that should be listed here that are not. So let's, whenever we do pray, let's remember to lift up all of our church family and all of the body of Christ and other churches in this city and in this state. It is a responsibility that we have. And as you're in your quiet time this week, also remember the people down in South Texas that are just being inundated with rain. And I heard a report this morning that there was a lightning strike on Padre Island, that a family's house burned, the cars burned in front of their house, and then the hurricane hit and flooded and destroyed their house. It's people like that that are going through things we can't even imagine. We just can't imagine it. So let's remember to always pray for them and the recovery efforts and the needs that they're going to have. And I know the Methodist Church is probably already sending, UMCOR is sending relief there as well as other denominations. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, you are the great creator. You fix the stars in heavenly realms. You place the sun, the moon, and the planets in our universe, and then you set them in motion. Lord, the heavens reach so far, we can't even measure the distance. But your love and your care are so boundless that you even created tiny creatures so small that we can't even see them with our unaided eyes. How great and how wide is your love. We also thank you today, Father, for the opportunity to serve your kingdom. You command us in your word to serve others unselfishly. And when we do, blessings are poured out upon all. Give us the courage to reach out to those who are less fortunate than we are, and to reach down to a child and raise them up. Help us to understand that we are the vessels for your love, that you flow through us and shine a light that we alone cannot. Fix that light in us, Father, so we can live and love as your Son lives and loves. Gracious God, we pray that you bless this church and grow it through all of us and all of the ministries here. Enable us to reach out to our community and draw all people to you. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen. As the ushers are coming forward, let's pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful for the blessings you give us, even when we don't deserve your bountiful gifts. We thank you for being a loving and a giving Father. Bless these tithes and offerings that we're about to receive today, that they may be multiplied and used to further your kingdom on earth and to bring glory to you. Amen.
For the gift of your Son, for the opportunity to meet you here in this place and to worship you. privilege, Lord. It's in the heavenly name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Last week, Pastor Mary and I started a 3-week series called Back to School, Back to Church. Last week we talked about change and a new normal and rules and new people and new settings, new surroundings. And it was great. This morning, Pastor Mary is on in the other service, and she's talking about the chemistry of God. Man, I just didn't like chemistry class. Talking about the creation. Well, I told her I was going to diverge from her just a little bit, and we're going to talk about the mathematics of God. I can't remember your name, but I could remember numbers. This morning, we're going to have fun, and that's what I want you to do, is just have fun with this. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd invite you to turn to Malachi. Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. And we're going to be reading from chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. And I just pray that these words bless you and that they find a place inside of you to dwell. Malachi, chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. But return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, there's some things that are constantly changing in this world. Temperatures, seasons, the tide, people, laws, the continents. And if you're a husband, the rules, yeah. I heard Cindy clear her throat. Even our language has changed over the years. You know, when I was young, sick meant that you didn't feel good and that you needed to go to bed or you just didn't want to go to school that day. Well, now, sick means, well, phenomenal. Like, man, those wheels are sick. Well, also, when I was little, off the chain meant that the chain came off my bicycle and I had to stop and turn it upside down and roll it back onto the gears. Now, for lack of a better term, it means phenomenal. You can tell I'm a little bit behind the lingo of today, but that's all right. There are, though, some things that never change, and they haven't since creation. As we read in our scripture this morning, God never changes. Amen? And I'm so thankful for that. But in the Bible, numbers has never changed. I mean, think about this. In the Garden of Eden, 2 meant 2, Adam and Eve. The animals went into the ark. 2 by 2. It rained for 40 years. Numbers is a language that is universal and is the same in every country that I've been in. Well, how important is numbers to God? Well, let's just go back and see. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and made a covenant with God, or made a covenant with man. Genesis, right? And then God delivered the nation of Israel out of captivity, out of Egypt. Exodus. And then God gave the law to man. Leviticus. And then, come on, Numbers. Yeah, they're important to God. Scientists use numbers to measure a lot of different things. The universe, time, distance, light, heat, and so on. People like me, that are strange like me, we don't see in words and we don't see in pictures. We actually see in numbers. I mean, when I hear the word tractor trailer rig, I see 18. When I hear the word bicycle, I see two. When I hear the word centipede, I see 100. I literally see in numbers. Now I'm scaring you just a little bit. So in algebra, another constant is pi. And it's that bottom left-hand symbol that you see on the screen. And I don't want anybody having any post-traumatic stress attacks now when I start talking about algebra. But now pi is, if you remember, 3.14, right? And it's a constant. But can you remember it out to 7 significant digits? And I'll tell you how. Yes, you can, very easily. Youth, stand up for me. Stand up for me. Repeat after me. May I have a large container of coffee? Say. May I have a large container of coffee? If you count the numbers in each one of those words, you have 3.1415926. Ooh. Do not tell your teachers where you heard that. I do not want credit. You can sit down. Great stuff. See, I get excited about something like this. Well, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, I was a professor of statistics at UALR for about 4 years in the middle 90s. But today, I'm going to make statisticians out of all of you. We're going to talk about the sum of the means and how important it is to do sampling. Now, we've all heard and we've all been part of when these groups go out and they take surveys. And they come back and they do all of the calculations. And then they take the findings from that one little group and they infer to the population as a whole. And that's called inferential statistics. On the next slide, we're going to see a simple graph. Now, those colored lines in the middle, that's the mean, the median, and the mode. Now, don't get upset, because those are just descriptive statistics. They just describe properties about a group of numbers. Again, don't get scared. Guess what? You were doing statistics in the fourth grade. Yeah, and I'm going to prove it to you. Let's say, as an individual, you take 5 tests in my class. Today, we're going back to Professor Walker's statistics class. And you take 5 tests, and you see them up on screen. Well, if you want to find out what your final grade's going to be, what do? Well, you add up all of your test scores. And that means that little backward S-looking thing is a sigma. So you add them up, and you get 460. Then you divide by the number of tests that you took, and you get an average. And that average comes out to be 92. Not bad your first semester in Professor Walker's stat class. But now, that was in the fourth grade. When you got to be a freshman in college, things changed just a little bit. And the language changed just a little bit. You can't say, you just add something up. So we came up with, in statistics class, this language all of its own, to speak more intelligently. And we see up on screen this now this new sentence. But don't let it be intimidating, because it's the same thing you did in the fourth grade. And we're going to read it here just real quickly. That sentence says, to find the mean, and that's that little U-shaped thing out there on the left, you've got to add or sum, because now in a freshman in college, you don't say add up, you say sum. So now you're going to sum a group of numbers called test scores, and then you're going to divide by the number of tests that you took, or N stands for numbers. And when you plug in all of the numbers into that formula, you're going to get a mean, not an average, an arithmetic mean of 92. Same thing you got in the fourth grade. Not too difficult. Okay, don't get overwhelmed. Now that you have an arithmetical mean of your group, let's just say that each one of you, that's just your test scores. What about the other people in the class? Well, it's the same thing when you talk about going out and taking samples in the population. We've all had people that go out there and they take this group, add them up, sum, and then divide by the number. So you get this mean of this group over here from the sampling. And then you have another person that does this group, and they come up with a mean. And then you have another person that does this group, and they come up with a mean, and so on and so on. And then you take all of those means, and you put them together. You turn them up like this, and you add them up to come up with a, and this is kind of simple, a sum of the means. Now, in sampling and inferential statistics, now you can properly infer properties from all of these different groups, because now that you've taken a mean here and a mean here and a mean here and a mean here, sound like an auctioneer, you can now divide to come up with a grand mean. And we're going to stop right there, because the sum of the means is very, very important in inferential statistics, because without it, you cannot infer properties of the sample group to the entire population as a whole. So now, y'all can go out and speak statistics to just everybody that you come up with. You can throw words like inferential statistics and descriptive statistics and mean, median, and mode, and sum of the means and the grand mean, and yeah, you make somebody's head explode. But can we take the sum of the means as we have just looked at it and apply it to God's word and to God's church? I'm excited. Yeah, we can do that. John Wesley had three standard rules that he talked about. One was do no evil. Do no evil by avoiding evil of every kind. Rule number two was do all the good that you can. And then by doing good, number three, by attending upon all of the ordinances of God. What Wesley called his means of grace. Ah, the light bulbs just started popping on. Yes, John Wesley had several means of grace. And we're going to look at those means of grace this morning. He took those means of grace and he divided them into two main headings that you see on screen. It was works of piety and works of mercy. Well, let's look quickly at all of the practices that fall under these headings and how they apply to us individually. Under the works of piety, there are individual practices and there are communal practices. Now, a synonym for piety is nothing more than just devotion. You can see the list of them there. Reading, meditating and studying the scriptures, prayer, fasting, regularly attending worship, healthy living, and sharing our faith with others. Communal works of piety are regularly share in the sacraments, Christian conferencing, such as accountability to one another, and Bible study. And then under works of mercy, we see individually doing good works, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, feeding the hungry, and giving generously to the needs of others. Sounds like Asbury to me. Communally, seek justice, end oppression and discrimination. And just as a side note, and I put it up there, Wesley actually challenged Methodists in the United States to end slavery. And then addressing the needs of the poor. A lot of action. Almost overwhelming. But how does that apply to us individually? How does it apply to us collectively? And how does it apply to us spiritually in those three areas? Well, first, individually, what does it mean to read, meditate, and to study the scripture? How often do we really open our Bibles and read? And I don't mean just read a couple of scriptures and call it all good. I mean really get in there and read to learn. The Word of God is alive, and it's capable of speaking to us in a miraculous way. Hebrews 4:12, I have in my notes, says, "For the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God speaks to us through His Word. He gives us answers when we seek them, and He gives us wisdom when we ask for it. How much time do we spend in prayer with God? 1 Thessalonians 3:17 says to pray without ceasing. Yes, there are times when we need to seek that quiet spot in our home and have that intimate prayer time with God. But there are also other times that we just need to carry on conversational prayer with God. I mean, believe it or not, you could drive down the highway. There are so many people talking on their cell phones, Bluetooth through their car, that they're in the car individually and they're just talking away. What happens if you just start praying to God and talking with Him? They're not going to know if you're talking on your phone or not. You're not going to be embarrassed out in, you know, on the interstate. Why not? Why not? God is wanting to hear from us as a loving Heavenly Father. He wants to talk with us. And He wants to talk to us. Do we regularly attend worship? How good is it for us individually to be in worship? When we're here, do we not receive good interaction from others and the Holy Spirit? I have to say yes. Now, if this sounds selfish, it's really not meant to be. We're created in the image of God, who is Spirit. Yes? When we plug into the Spirit-filled church with our presence, we're having our spirits renewed in the process. Well, there's others listed there, but I'll touch on only one more of these list of works from in piety from an individual practice and mention sharing our faith with others. I could stand up here and tell you how to tie a tie, tie a fly, and then go fly fishing. But if I've never tied a single fly in my life, how effective would I be? Our faith is established and developed by, here it comes, strengthened by reading, meditating on the Word, prayer, attending worship, and healthy living, right there on the top line. The strength of that faith will come across in our conviction when we tell others about our relationship with our Savior. Well, works of mercy are individual blessings when you participate. On this slide, you see the list of doing good works, visiting the sick, visiting those in prison, feeding the hungry, and giving generously to the needs of others. Do we have to do all of those to receive grace from God? Absolutely not. Should we participate in these individual works of mercy so we can receive blessings from God? Absolutely so. This afternoon, one of those, as I mentioned, those ministries of this church is going on, and I'm here to tell you, you will receive a blessing if you ever go to Stone Soup. And I get so emphatic about that. But I remember meeting a truck driver from Chicago and talking. He couldn't drive truck anymore because he started getting blind in his eyes. Started talking about Chicago and how I had visited there in the mid-80s, in the early 90s. And he started talking about where he was from, and I said, yes, I've been out there. And it was just almost a kinship that just got established just like that. And it was so much a blessing. And before he left, he came back to me and he said, Mr. Walker, it's been a blessing to be here. And I said, no, you've been a blessing to me. And I want to thank you for allowing me to come and to serve you. And he said, are you going to be back? And I said, you sure? You can bet on that one. I said, will you be back? He said, yes. Go just one time. One time, I challenge you, to see if that same thing doesn't happen to you. Wesley describes a communal or a collective perspective to his means of grace. How can we experience this grace together in devotion to one another? Well, you see it there. We can regularly share in the sacraments. Wesley prescribed observing Holy Communion as often as you can. And remember, it is an open table. It is not ours, but it is God's. Wesley said, when we place ourselves in a very delicate position when we start deciding or judging who can and who cannot come to God's table. He also proposed Christian conferencing or accountability to one another and Bible study. Now, these are two different things, and I want to make sure that we understand this. Accountability is holding each other to a standard, to a biblical standard, holding each other up in prayer, talking with each other, and praying with each other about the struggles of everyday life. Bible study is just that, studying God's Word in a group, and not individually, but collectively. The Holy Spirit is present in these groups. Some of the instructions I've read on Wesley is he would set an extra chair that would be empty. He would light a candle at the beginning of this Bible study, and then he would extinguish it at the end, symbolizing the Holy Spirit is present, either in the empty chair or in the light. Wonderful, wonderful time to come together, because not only does the Holy Spirit speak to us individually, the Holy Spirit speaks to us collectively as well. And we get the different perspectives on how the Holy Spirit is talking to one another. As a community, we live out works of mercy by seeking justice, ending oppression and discrimination, and addressing the needs of the poor. Asbury collectively supports the Rice Depot and pulls our resources together to supply a food pantry for the hungry right here, more than what one person could do. The Arkansas United Methodist Conference pulls its resources together to go out and do disaster relief through the United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR. Collectively or communally, we share the effort of works of mercy to accomplish so much more than we can individually and be blessed in the process. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." So what do we get from exercising these means of grace? Through works of piety, individually, collectively, and works of mercy, individually and collectively, communally. I can tell you in two words: relationship and recognizability. Now, I wasn't an English major. I was a stat major, so that's a new word for me. In the beginning, I said that God never changes. And if God never changes, and the Scripture confirms that, now follow me here. He desires the same thing today that He did in the beginning. Would you agree with that? You want to argue with me about it? God never changes. He desires the same thing now as He did in the beginning. And what did He desire in the beginning? To walk and talk with Adam and Eve on a daily basis and have a relationship with them. What does He desire today? To walk and talk with us on a daily basis and have a relationship with Him. Now, He will speak to our spiritual ears. We will see things through our spiritual eyes. Have you ever heard the voice of God? Do you think it's beyond Him? Well, I will tell you in a couple of weeks. Come back here, because I'm going to preach a sermon on the voice of God. And that's all I'm going to tell you. Or as they used to say, film at 11. The more we get in God's Word, the more we listen with our spiritual ears, the more we're going to recognize the shepherd. Sheep will recognize the shepherd's voice. It says it in His Word. Now, why did I say recognizability? Have you ever seen a couple that has been together for so long, all of a sudden they start looking like one another? You've seen it, haven't you? Or how about a couple that goes on vacation together, and now's the time of year where we start seeing all of those pictures on Facebook and stuff. The couple goes and they come back and they're all tanned. We know where they went together, don't we? They went to the beach. They just start looking like one another. Well, the more time we spend with God, the more we're going to look like Him. Yeah. Romans 8:29 tells us that we are being conformed into the likeness of the Son, Jesus Christ. People will be able to recognize us for who we hang out with. And frankly, I'd rather them recognize or think I look more like Jesus than some of the places I've hung out in the past. This is the sanctifying grace that Wesley talks about that we're all going through. We're being sanctified. We are being conformed into what God wants us to be, and that's what all of us should desire. It may not be a pleasant process sometimes, and I can tell you it's a little painful, but God knows what's best. He knows what He's doing, and if we only will submit to His authority, then He will do His work. Collectively, the church is the bride of Christ. We know that. Preparing itself for the groom's return. Now, I've never seen a bride in my life that lets herself go before a wedding. There are months and months and months and months of preparation, like dress decisions, banquet choices, music, flowers. The bride prepares itself for the wedding and for the groom. We should be no less diligent as a church in our preparation for Christ's return. I think God is trying to tell us this morning that we need to get more into His Word, obeying His commands, listen to His desires, and test Him where He tells us to. God is a great God. Amen? He will pour out His blessings on us individually, and He will do so corporately when we put Him first in all we do, individually and corporately, as we submit to the preparation through the Holy Spirit for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what do we have when we add up all of Wesley's means of grace to get a sum of the means or the sum of Wesley's means? We get to see and experience the glory of the Lord each and every day. And I don't know about you, but that's exactly where I want to be each and every day. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And pray with me, please. Father, we just love You and we thank You for Your grace and all of the different types of grace that You will extend to us. Lord, individually, as we serve You, as we worship You, as we talk with You, as we just read about Your Word as it comes alive to us. And Father, as a corporate body, Your church, as we come together, as we sing praises, as we worship You, and we open Your Word, Lord, we just thank You for the blessings that You promised that You would open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us so great that we will not be able to hold it if we only obey Your decrees. Help us, Lord, to obey those decrees. We love You. We thank You. We can't wait to see Your kingdom come. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our hymn of commitment is going to be sung. And if you would like to come forward and express a profession of faith this morning, or just come to recommit your life to this God that we're talking about, or if you would like to come forward and join this church by whatever means and is appropriate to our denomination, our prayer rails are always open if you'd like to come forward and just pray. Just pray and talk to God. He's waiting on you to talk with you as the band sings.
All these pieces broken and scattered, in mercy gathered, mended and whole. Empty-handed, but not forsaken, I've been set free, I've been set free. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, oh, I once was lost, but now was blind, but now I see. can see the love in your eyes, laying yourself down, raising up the broken to take our failure.
You take our failure. You take our weakness. You set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord. I'll be your vessel. The world to see your life in me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now.
Amen. Has it been fun today? But it's been eye-opening as well. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And it's exciting that I'm going to ask Caitlin to come up here and stand with me. And Amy, I'm going to ask you if you come up and stand on the other side. This is Caitlin Kronberg, and I'm going to present you. Some of you know her already. She has been at this youth coming to Asbury for 4 years and a part of the youth group. Our youth are fantastic. They are fantastic. Caitlin has asked for us to receive her as a new member. She is a baptized believer. She is professing her faith in her Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. She has been baptized, and she'll be transferring her membership to Asbury United Methodist Church. Are you happy about that? And I ask you, if you're happy about it and you accept Caitlin into our family, let it be known by saying amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm also going to ask the rest of the youth group that is sitting back there chomping at the bits to come up here and stand with your new member, Caitlin. Come on up here. Just surround her. Come on up here. And I'm going to embarrass them every chance I get. This is a great group of youth. And I say youth only in age. There are some spiritual adults here as well. And I love each and every one of you so much, so much. I'm going to get all, wow, I just can't, it's just the emotion flows when I'm around this group. So this is exciting times. Asbury is growing by leaps and bounds. We are on the precipice of a huge change here. And it's going to be driven by these right here. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for blessing us this morning. I thank you for Caitlin and her wanting to join this faith family. Lord, help us all to come beside these youth and them beside us so that we can grow and become mature in the faith, knowing that your son is coming one day to take us all home to live in heaven, the beautiful place of perfection. But until then, Lord, help us to share your word, the good news, the gospel, with everybody that we come into contact with, so your kingdom will live and breathe here on this earth. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, everybody said, amen. Have a good week.
Is enough. Your grace is enough. Your grace is enough for me. Your grace is enough. Reaches down to us. Your grace.